financial year 18-19 government record keeping's focus was around improving understanding. So that was the problem statement that we set ourselves. You know, and that's understanding of the record keeping obligations, right? Which obviously derived from the legislative tools like the State Records Act 1998 and the associated standards, best practice guides, all the rest of it. You know, and a big part of what government record keeping is there to do is to, you know, is to translate those obligations, because, you know, obviously the legislation is quite broad, it's non-specific in some sections, it's quite specific in other sections. You know, and the public officers that are required to abide by that are, you know, like health and New South Wales Police are quite large and broad and very different in what they provide, all the way down to tiny public officers that have three people in them. You know, so it's quite a challenge to interpret a single piece of legislation in a way that everyone can pick it up and say, yep, I know what this means for me, I can easily meet my obligations. You know, so we need to benchmark to start off with, right? So what is that current level of understanding across different cohorts that we need to engage with? So we used a survey. It contained qualitative and quantitative measures, and included a series of interviews with 15 senior responsible officers in record keeping. You know, and it addressed a wide range of topics, which you'll see as we move through. So as I said, we had 15 in-depth interviews with the senior responsible officers, right, which are, you know, supposed to be, you know, senior executives that the chief executive has delegated the responsibility of the record keeping obligations to. So there's a bit of a breakdown here on organisation type that they came from. So, you know, department and agency, we had 6, local councils, 4, local health districts, 3, and 1 from universities. So even there you can, you know, start to see the different groups of public officers that government record keeping has to provide advice to and all the rest of it. You know, and then we've got the breakdown of the size of the organisation that they represented, from very large to very small. So, you know, so we've got a good cut across the organisation type, the size, and actually the location that they represent. Right? So in terms of their feedback, you know, so that's quite a good cohort and split. The respondent profile that we ended up with. So this is not the 15 interviews, these are the people that answered the actual survey. So, you know, there'll be some obvious indicators here where obviously larger organisations and groups of people should have a larger representation in the survey. You know, you can start to see that from local health districts and then state departments. Councils and agencies represent the bulk of the survey responses that we received. You know, you can see from the size of the organisation here, you know, very large, overwhelmingly represented, you know, all the way down to very small. So it's actually a good cross-section of what we'd expect to see. You can see up in the job position at the top here, you know, record-keeping professionals, you know, accounted for, you know, roughly just over 30% of the responses. The other staff that the survey was cascaded to is over here, you know, and then senior executives. While that actually looks quite low, I mean, you know, it's in proportion with, you know, the percentage of senior executives to other staff and record keeping, right? So that's what you would expect to see. So that's quite good. So this is just to give you a bit of background on who's actually provided the responses, right? So here's a summary scorecard, right? So we'll just jump to the end result at the beginning, right? Just so you can see exactly what came back, which was, given the information that we had about the history of the engagement of GRK with public officers, this is what we expected to see, so it actually aligns quite closely with our engagement strategy that we had up until now. So record keeping professionals, you know, are, you know, the question, you know, I have a good understanding of record keeping requirements for my job. You know, record keeping professionals are, you know, fairly, you know, 8.8 is that aggregate score out of 10. So I mean, that's quite good. I imagine that the people in this room would have, you know, feel fairly comfortable in the record keeping requirements of their job and everybody else's jobs potentially. You know, other staff's responses at 7.2, right? So this is quite good. And then senior executives, 6.6. Right, so the lowest aggregate score, and you know, it raises questions about whether they actually have a requirement for knowing more and what the operational impacts and consequences are for such a low score. But we thank them for being honest in their responses. But we'll delve into them you know, in a little bit more detail here. So these are the types of questions that go into the, you know, into the summary of the score components. And there was quite a lot of different categories of questions that we asked, not all that we'll talk about today. I mean, they're not all of interest to the wider population. Some of them are quite interesting to us. But, you know, things like, you know, creating records as a part of your work, how well do you understand the obligations with regards to that, with regards to procedures for handling and storing, the rules and procedures for deleting or destroying, providing access to those, and, you know, and like managing emails, right? So we put that one in there. It's quite specific. It's something that a lot of people have difficulty with. You know, and it's probably something where, you know, where the systems and technology hasn't quite caught up, you know, with how email actually gets used. So I think that's quite a good split there, right? You know, and these are what's aggregated into the early scores. Right. So you can see that the results between the questions for records keepers, you know, are pretty consistent. Other staff are pretty consistent. You know, when you get to the senior executives, you know, they're pretty good on providing access. You know, and that could be because it's also impacted by things like the you know, the IPC's communication about, you know, what the, you know, GIPA obligations are. You know, but when it comes to things like emails and deleting or destroying, the scores are actually quite a bit lower in those two categories. So once again, just broad broad sections. So you can see that the records managers are statistically significant way quite a bit higher than the rest of the cohort. But the important thing that this breaks out is the chief executives here, right, like 100%. They're like, yep, I'm across it, I know my obligations, no issues. So they're the experts, which is fantastic to see. They're taking that obligation really seriously. I can hear some chuckles from the crowd. Maybe some people disagree with their own. Who knows? You know, and then we've got the rest of the staff down here. And that's your, that little blue line there, 25%, is your other senior executive that aren't your chief executive. So 100% and 25% for all the others. Okay, so I think that's an interesting split. Okay, so the interviews with the SROs. So this was actually quite interesting. So the SROs, in general, said, yep, I've got a really good understanding of what the obligations are, but they actually feel that they're being limited organisationally, so with internal factors to the organisation in terms of achieving organisation-wide compliance with the objectives. You know, so they cited, you know, the lack of influence that they had, which is interesting. I mean, so SROs are generally members of the senior executive, so for them to have a lack of influence in that record keeping, I mean, that's an interesting finding on its own. And while they showed determination to overcome that internal resistance, you know, they're not fully across all of the resources and support that's available to them, internally and externally, I guess. You know, and they want stronger advocacy from New South Wales State Archives. So they want an external pressure, I guess, to help them justify what they need to do. You know, and I think that, you know, I think when we look at, you know, internal resource expenditure, obviously people are going to put the most resources into their frontline customer-facing things, right, as an organisation, right? Transport's going to build a whole bunch of infrastructure. You know, police, put that into frontline policing. You know, your records management, you know, sort of takes a back seat, right? It's sort of a supporting function, right? There was specific feedback for audits, right? So they want to be audited. They want, you know, they want to have their records management systems and obligations audited. I think that's probably the only solution to the problem they can think of. You know, I think it's the, you know, it's the Henry Ford quote, if I ask people what they want to do, they would set a faster horse concept, right? People don't really know. So they want some sort of external input to help justify, you know, the additional expense. You know, I think from Martin's conversation earlier around, you know, around there are some organisations that don't have things in a state that allows them to transfer things in, right? So from a GOK perspective, we often see the big example, I don't have the resources to sentence my warehouse full of records. Fair enough, right? Because that money's being spent elsewhere, right? But it is a requirement that you should, so, you know, how do you make that as a business case? How do you justify that internally, right? So I think that's actually a good question. You know, and the limited knowledge that the senior executive reported before at 25%, does that feed into the lack of support for those obligations? You know, they don't actually understand what goes into it or how much money and effort it actually takes to get these things right. You know, and I guess at the cost of continually deferring actually implementing these things, right? So it just costs you more and more in the future. The exception of stagnating wages, which probably works in your advantage. So this was one of the quotes from the SROs. So at the end of the day, whenever you've got staff in an organisation, trying to make them understanding clear about their record-keeping responsibilities is always a challenge. So I think we can probably all agree with the difficulty in trying to get, you know, coalface staff to understand what the obligations are and then put them into practice. You know, they'll often do what's easiest, and, you know, I think as Stephen mentioned earlier, you know, when you actually go and apply some analysis to your data and your records, you often find that those records and data are not as correct as you would hope they were, because people often take shortcuts from there, you know, creating those records, right? So I think that's fairly, you know, fairly indicative of the world that we live in. So senior executives, so other than SROs and CROs, so they reported the lowest levels of knowledge. Only 1 in 4 felt they knew how to handle, store, delete, and destroy records, and only 15% said they were confident in managing emails. You know, and these are the people making fairly broad and strategic decisions for the, you know, for the organisation. You know, so and from the feedback that we got, they're seen as a barrier to implementing and encouraging record keeping practices, right? I guess because it doesn't win votes. So their lack of support amplifies the resistance that's already evident across the wider organisation. Right, so I think it's an interesting perspective. And it's nice to have the validation, I suppose. It's probably something that you might assume or you might say anecdotally was true, but it's nice to have that reported back from a wider audience. So people working outside of the records management profession, this is the other staff, so they had low results across some of the key areas, like destroying and creating, taking records of meetings and that sort of thing. And I think, you know, from a records management perspective, that's, you know, an understanding of the discrete obligations as set out in the legislation is probably fair, you know, but because it's not always translated in that way, right? It's normally said, you know, as part of an organisation, this is what we expect you to do. You know, and maybe focused on particular systems like trim or objective or whatever it happens to be. So it's not particularly surprising. Have a general disregard for the importance of record keeping. Yeah, fair enough. I don't think anyone in this room is going to disagree with that. In terms of that's what they observe. And can become record keeping advocates with the organisations finding a way to overcome internal resistance. Yeah, okay. So I guess if you can overcome that internal resistance, they can be used as a force for good. So I guess this did surprise me that it was as high as it was from my own experience working in government and how seriously records management is taken. And certainly, you know, certainly within projects where even discrete records can be identified and you know, yes, we need to keep these particular sets of documents, and they don't get created, they don't get stored, they don't get put anywhere, nobody ever follows up, and potentially nobody ever finds out unless you actually ask for them. So I actually thought, you know, having protect sensitive and confidential records from unauthorized access. I mean, that's quite high. You know, create minutes of meetings. Yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised that people think that they know what their obligations are in that space. I mean, it's promising if it's true. I guess it's a question of, you know, maybe they know a little bit and think they're experts. So sector insights. So this is just breaking it down into the department. Local, so department or agency, so those 10 clusters, local health districts, councils and universities. Councils and universities seem to score much higher. I don't have an explanation for that. That's just what we see. But I think that inside of those, you know, there's quite clear differences in terms of their knowledge of policies. So, you know, 70% of the universities felt comfortable and, you know, knowing their obligations under the policies, whereas 38% in state government or departments. So if it's not clear, we're still unpicking some of this data because it's quite broad in terms of its implication and actually how you would go about addressing it and whether it's actually GRK's responsibility to address it in some circumstances. I think the next part is channels. So Rose is going to take this.
Thanks, Andrew. So Stephen in his presentation touched on data-driven decision-making. And that's also what good communication decisions are based on. So when we asked about people's communication preferences, you can see here their most preferred channels are through email or e-newsletters and then the website. And interest drops off when we start talking about leaflets. And there's really low interest in receiving our information via social media, Facebook and Twitter. So that gives us some really good clues as to which channels we should be increasing our efforts and which channels we should be reconsidering our investment in. In terms of exposure to communication from government record keeping, the most reported exposure to our comms was among record keeping professionals. So that's no surprise because you have been our target audience for the information that we put out. For other groups, a majority had never received information through any of our channels. So one thing we'll be thinking about is how do we make our information more accessible, easily shared, and appealing to those people? When it comes to our website, visitation is quite low. So just over 1 in 3 respondents to the survey said that they had visited our website. So that's the... the government record keeping section of the State Archives and Records website. Of the people who have visited our website, the majority were record keeping professionals, and those who had visited tended to find it very useful. Something that we're working on now is how we can make our website a better user experience. So we've just kicked off some research as to how people are using and finding the website. So a shout out to those who have participated in our website user testing. Thank you, Kirsten, Sherry, I saw you here before, Andrew, and Shannon, if you're here. We really appreciate your feedback. We asked some questions about perceptions of State Archives and Records, which will inform any branding initiatives and any profile building initiatives that we might need to undertake. So there's a strong awareness of who we are, but the understanding about the detail of what we do is not quite there. And those who are aware of who we are mostly had a generally positive view, so thank you. Some of the areas where we acknowledge we have work to do are the questions around communicates using convenient, accessible channels and is an efficient modern government agency. So the areas where we did well on has knowledgeable staff, good source of information, provides clear explanations, and provides helpful resources. At this point, I'll hand back to Andrew to wrap up.
Yeah, so I suppose what this next one here is just saying that there's a link between having sufficient access and having good understanding, right? Which, while it may seem clear on the face of it, is quite informative for us, because I think in the context of the other criticisms around it being text-heavy, lacking visuals, obviously that limits the people who, even if they do find the information, can actually engage with it in a meaningful way. So I guess more on Rose's point around, you know, how can we make things more visual and easy to interpret and potentially easier to disseminate within those organisations, right, to get the maximum value out of that information that's actually been put together. So another quote from one of the interviews, there are chunks of it where I'm not quite across it, and other components where I'm probably not aware of. I'm just eating the elephant one bite at a time. I'm sure we can all understand that. It is what it is, right? But it's not always easy to interpret the requirements that it's putting on top of us, especially when we have to put that across. Well, what system am I talking about? What are the needs of the, what records exist? You know, what are the needs of the users in this space? Do they have access to a computer or something, right? I mean, once it gets down to that granularity, the requirements become, you know, somewhat nebulous. So I think some of the good information was that in terms of an organization's record-keeping program, there was actually quite a good prevalence of the record-keeping obligations across things like code of conduct, internal communications, You know, maybe less so in the staff inductions, but certainly on the intranet. So I think this is good, right? You know, and maybe when it comes to staff induction, right? You know, you're getting a lot of different information. You get information about your work health and safety obligations and all the rest of it, right? It may get diluted by all of that, when really all you're concentrating on is how to make sure your manager thinks you're actually worth a damn on the first day of your job. So maybe people don't remember it, that's what I'm saying. Right, so I think this is good. This is promising to say, yeah, there's some information out there, right? But how do you, you know, maybe instead of it just being there on the one time you do the training or the induction, you know, how do you make sure that it's there every day, right? As a reminder, you know, and maybe the answer is that you can't, and you need to design systems to cover that gap for you, right? So I guess the bit that you're interested in is the next steps, which, you know, I can only say that we haven't fully fleshed out what the next steps are, and the ones that we do have are not ready to be shared. But obviously, we'll publish the findings on the website early next year, and all of this information is being put into largely how do we communicate with the records keepers, the senior executives, through other channels, you know, with end users where it's appropriate. You know, it's also members of the public and that require the information, right? So largely, how do we communicate? What are the channels? What's most effective? What are the requirements of SROs, CEOs, records keepers in terms of what are the gaps that they're missing that would help them either, you know, justify their business cases for new initiatives or just get increased awareness? So some of those will be communications related. Some of them might be tooling. You know, we're doing a review of quite a number of the initiatives that we've got in light of the feedback that we've received from this to make sure that they're still relevant and they're still hitting the mark. So, brings me to the end of my portion, because I